The Girl Scouts of Southern Arizona are preparing girls for a lifetime of leadership. Key to their success in reaching their goals? Strategically partnering with innovative leaders in our community. Hi, everyone. I'm Gina Murphy-Darling, and this is Down to Earth with Mrs. Green. And we are indeed going to get down to earth, celebrating Tucson Electric Power Company's partners in sustainability. This show is the third of our Brightee Award Spotlight Series, and we are indeed ready to celebrate with our in-studio guest and the truly amazing and important organization which she represents, the Girl Scouts of Southern Arizona. But before we dive into the show, so to speak, just a quick tip from those great sponsors, Tucson Electric Power, great partner of Mrs. Green's World, and it's a good one. Because we're having winter in Arizona. I just want the whole world to know that we're actually having winter. Well, relatively. It's like in the 50s. So for us, we're like in fur coats, fake fur. To keep your home warmer in the winter, use your ceiling fans to push warm air downward and recirculate it in the room. Make sure your blades are spinning clockwise. That's really important. You have to change the direction. And if not, it's not doing any good. So just put it in the opposite direction of the way it's going. Check the ceiling fans and save money on energy and your house will be warmer. It just makes really good sense. And you can find a lot more energy saving tips by visiting TEP.com. So as part of my introduction, I'd like to share a bit of information about this organization and their somewhat unique approach to reaching more girls in our community, and our guest, who I'm not going to say her name yet, is going to tell us all about that. But Girl Scouts of Southern Arizona is a nonprofit organization with services and programs open to all girls ages 5 to 17 in Southern Arizona, and they have been privileged to serve more than 6,000 girls and over 2,000 adult volunteers. While their volunteer-led troops are a big part of what they do and support, this Girl Scout organization has taken a unique approach to reaching more girls through their social impact program. And I do the happy dance over many things, and that is one of them. As one of only a few councils in the United States implementing this approach, they use a staff-led model to reach girls who may not normally have the opportunity to participate in the Girl Scout leadership experience. Because times have changed and more families in Arizona live in poverty, there are fewer and fewer parents who have the time to volunteer as leader of a troop. And trust me when I say it takes a lot of time. This council believes it is vitally important to devote resources and time into making the dream of Girl Scouting a reality for more and more girls. We're going to learn quite a bit more about it and all that from our in-studio guest, MacGyver Tank, Chief Property and Operations Officer, and many more things at Girl Scouts of Southern Arizona. So can you tell how excited I am to have you here?
Indeed, thank you.
We were talking a little bit about when the building got dedicated, which we're going to talk about how one of the jobs you had was keeping the fires going for making s'mores. That is, of course, I remember about the food. I mean, the building was great, but it was really a pretty amazing time to go there and celebrate what happened.
We have to incorporate everything.
We do.
The building and the food.
Especially, we're not going to say in there how many Girl Scout cookies this family has purchased because it's obscene. But somebody told me the other day they bought $135 worth of Girl Scout cookies. And I went, whatever, because every time I see them, it's like, Stephanie, can you get 5 more boxes for us? So it's perfect to talk about s'mores. Okay, and I always like to start when there's someone sitting here next to me telling me a little bit about how they came to do what they do. What was your interest in Girl Scouts and why are you sitting in this chair to represent them?
Right. So this is my home council as a girl. I grew up.
Are you kidding?
No, not at all. I grew up in Southern Arizona.
Whoa.
Sierra Vista. So, you know, the Cochise County. Now we have a staff member down there in office. It really feels like home. But I camped at the Hacienda and at our camp on Mount Lemmon as a child. Was a staff member through college.
Blood.
Yes, in my blood.
So are you a Girl Scout for life? It is true.
Indeed.
When they have these luncheons, whether here or in Washington, D.C. or anywhere, and they honor Girl Scouts, like, okay, Sandra Day O'Connor, and the beat goes on. So many women leaders really got their leadership skills. They cut their teeth in Girl Scouts. And you know that's true.
Right.
Okay. So, and does the part about what you get to see every day because you experience it, was that a big draw for you to come there and say, I'm going to work there?
Oh, indeed. And to give back to an organization that gave so much to me. And just to see the girls really find themselves and come out of their shell, become leaders, work on something new, have new experiences. Maybe they're not too comfortable in the outdoors and have that opportunity. Maybe they're fantastic in the outdoors and they've done that with their families, but they have a chance to try STEM or arts, other projects that they maybe wouldn't have the opportunity to experience.
So it's just it's not just a headspace for you, it's a heart space. It's
Indeed.
Certainly not just a job.
No.
It's really, most people who are sitting in that seat, it's not just a job, it becomes a passion, and I love that. So we talked a little bit before we went on air about Angel Charity for Children, which we have listeners from all over the country, but it's an amazing organization that pretty much funds capital projects. We raise a lot of money. I've been a member for way too long. And can't seem to quit, like I'm addicted to Angel. But what they do is give programs like Girl Scouts money to build buildings and for capital improvements and for retiring mortgages so that program dollars can be spent in the way in which they were meant, not for a building, but to do services for the clients. So as a longtime member of Angel, I did the happy dance when they selected Girl Scouts to be their beneficiary. And I was trying to think that it was in 2016 they selected, and then 2017 the building was finished.
Yes.
That's what I thought.
August
okay.
of 17.
Okay.
We did our ribbon cutting.
And it's called Angel Charity Place for Girls. Why do you think it's so important and who does it serve? It's a big deal and Angels loved it. And we scrutinize and it's a rigorous process. What did you do the happy dance for? That's not on video right now.
It is a rigorous process for sure. And the Angels don't take anything lightly.
No.
Nor do we.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So the opportunity to give, I say, you know, city girls, an opportunity to give our social impact girls a place here locally on Broadway, on a bus line, right in their backyard where they can come and have their sisters be in a safe place, experience new things, challenge themselves, grow and develop, all of those pieces of the puzzle. And I think that was what was so important, is that progression is a big piece of scouting, and this building naturally allows progression.
And it's 11,000 square feet. It's a beautiful building. It's just really, it was brand new and beautifully designed. And from what I understand, and I don't think I knew this, you serve Pima, Cochise, Yuma, Santa Cruz, Graham, Greenlee, and Pinal counties. And for those of you that live like in New Jersey and might be listening, that's way bigger than the size of New Jersey, the whole area you have to serve. It's a big geographic expanse because there's a lot of spaces in between things here.
Absolutely.
Out in the good old West.
A lot of road trips, a lot of time on the road to serve those girls, but the impact is just critical.
So is it as much a building for, because since I went to the dedication, I haven't been in it, I admit it.
You need to come
okay.
down.
I need to come down. And when there's
Wednesdays
and
Thursdays are overflowing.
So who's in there? Are Daisies in there? Are the high school ambassadors? Who's doing activities
Absolutely.
In those buildings?
All ages, 5 to 17, they're all coming in. We do have some traditional volunteer-led troops that use the space, so they're no longer meeting in living rooms in their houses or renting space from the public library. They now have a space of their own. We serve many of our social impact programs, AJ, CARE, our juvenile detention partners.
I love that.
Come to that
I would
building.
Do a whole show on that.
And it when they first come, they're kind of voluntold by their probation officer, this is a program you need to get involved in. And it only takes a couple times and they're like, I want to come.
Right.
And they stick with us.
Doors start opening, eyes start opening, hearts start opening. And it really is. I mean, they're mm-hmm. hooked. I love it when I get really clever notes from people. And one of the clever notes was that you provide a place for girls that is her own space to release her inner girl. This is not a stump the guests. What does girl stand for?
Absolutely. Go-getter, innovator, risk-taker, and leader.
So
and
like,
our girls are all of those
it's
things.
It's so great. It'll make me think differently about the word. And in this world, we need to do that. So I love that.
We need go-getters.
We need go-getters.
Innovators.
and risk takers and leaders. And it's wonderful to see a lot of that happening right now in our world.
And the risks they can take in that building are really endless. I mean, you talk about it's 11,000 square feet, and that's 11,000 square feet of flexible space. You know, we have very few walls, permanent walls in that building, because we just never know what the program needs are going to be, what the needs of the girls are going to be at any given moment. So we have portable walls that we can put in place, but most of the time they're gone. And it's just open flow, connection, communication, contact with each other instead of behind a screen.
Being in community, which I think our world is starved for. It's absolutely and totally starved for. So I'm curious about, we talked about the rigorous process for Angel, and there's a reason for that. You know, we do it because we are spending donors' money. We ask people to give us a lot of money. We raise a lot of money. Angels give a lot of money. So we want it to be rigorous because we are good stewards of that donor base. But I was delighted to learn that girls were actually involved in the process of designing this. Can you tell us a little bit about that? This is, to me, wonderful news.
Oh, from the very beginning. So prior to Angel's Place being built, we only had probably 3,000 square feet for girls to use at Broadway in Columbus.
Absolutely bursting at the seams.
Indeed, overflowing. So we would have the opportunity to talk to those girls on a nightly basis about how they would use different space, what they would want to see. And then Debbie Rich, our CEO, went to numerous meetings with girls and adults and really kind of put the hand up to the adults and asked the girls what they want, what they would use. And their feedback, of course, there were the unicorns and the rainbows, of, you know.
Yes, which is great.
As they would, honest right. And fair, that's what they would say is they, you know, they put it out there. But the opportunity to kind of have some climbing space, health and wellness, a sense of, you know, yoga, all of those things were important to them. And for us, really, the courtyard area and bringing the outside in and the inside out.
So it wasn't what the adults wanted for the girls. It's what the girls wanted for the girls.
And it's still not what the adults want.
You know, How wonderful is that?
You walk into that building, and I say it all the time, it's not uncomfortable for adults, but it's certainly not their space. And I think that's very clear from the surfaces, the usability of the building, you know, the stairs. We have a pretty fantastic stairwell in that building.
You do indeed. It would be a great setting for a wedding.
With a large...
So the bride could come down those steps. It's very dramatic.
Right, and a large platform. And it wasn't just for the drama behind that staircase, but really that platform is multi-use. It's a built-in stage where they can kind of get their voice for the first time. We have a podium and a speaker where they can present. And then the lobby area can be, you know, theater. We've had up to 100 chairs in there, theater style seating. And then vice versa, if there's a performance and the girls are doing an activity or performing on the ground level in the lobby, then those stairs become built-in seating. And again, not seating for adults, but it's not about the adults.
Right, right. And in my world, quite frankly, I was very blessed. I didn't have to worry about safe spaces very much. It's a safe place. And a lot of kids from juvenile detention, from the at-risk families, safety matters. So they can go there and forget about being afraid of anything. It's a safe space, which then encourages more learning. So to me, that's another plus, plus, plus.
Indeed.
It's safe. What about the girls? Did they play any role in helping to raise money? Did they participate? Is some of their blood, sweat, and tears or cash involved in the building?
Oh, indeed. We have blood, sweat, and tears from demolition when, if you remember the old Broadway Cafe, the diner that was there.
Right.
So instantly that was demolished and girls were involved in that initial hammer swinging, sledgehammer swinging to knock that down. But certainly in the process, not just the mind and the thought behind the building, but their hard-earned cookie proceeds, some of their own troop, could you say like their piggy banks from their troop, went into that building. And they have tiles on our donor wall. So Gail Roberts, a local artist, did our donor mural.
Right. Her mark is in a lot of wonderful places in Tucson.
Plenty of girls' names are on that wall. They all have a trefoil, which is an iconic symbol for our organization. And then we have bricks as well that many troops donated funds to so that they can leave a legacy.
And it's great. And I'll tell you what, even with Angel, there's something about human beings and connection and contribution. When we were doing bricks out at La Encantada, I'm happy to go there and see my mom and dad's name. I felt like they were a part of something to build a space that mattered. And it was, you know, it was to raise money for Angel Charity. So it's, there's something about that naming opportunity that really isn't just ego. It's about feeling like your energy helped make this happen.
Well,
it's a good thing.
We're not going anywhere. I mean, we've been on that corner of Broadway and Columbus since 85, and we've been on Mount Lemmon since 1955. So this is definitely home, and those bricks and those names and that building and the girls that grow with it will be a part of it
forever. And they'll be proud of it. They'll coming back with their kids and their grandkids. So I think we should tell everybody, in case they don't know, and I had to make sure I knew what STEM stands for: science, technology, engineering, and math, right? So tell us a little bit more about what goes on in the building that happen every single day. Just go a little bit deeper into what happens there with the STEM program, because that's really important, especially in our state. We want girls to be trained in all of those, educated.
Right. So in our STEM room in particular, you know, we have a team member on our staff who is whose focus is STEM. We have a girl-led astronomy club. So they have an opportunity, again, to kind of meet in the middle of the city. But Tucson's blessing of the dark sky, we, you know, they can still capture that. And I think one of the biggest pieces, not the biggest, but a unique piece of that building and just its layout, particularly when you think about STEM, is it's passive solar, some of the unique environmental features that go with it. And then from a personal, like warms the heart, when you're in that STEM room and you look towards a mountain, you know where Camp Whispering Pines is.
Yes. I mean, it's like a whole loop, an integrated whole thing. Because those Girl Scout memories from Girl Scout camp are pretty powerful.
So we have, you know, we have microscopes, telescopes, the typical beakers and the science experiments. We do a lot with robotics. All that opportunity is
robotics,
there for those girls.
Translation, our future.
Right.
I can't wait to go a drive-up somewhere and there's a robot at the window, which would mean a fast food restaurant, which would mean I don't go to those, so I don't have to worry about it. So she says. I wear a disguise if I do. What about, I don't remember the bouldering wall. What is that? There's actually a climbing wall, and when you go in, where is it?
So it's down on the first floor in the health and wellness room.
Got it.
And part of the reason you might not remember it or recognize it as a bouldering wall is because it's actually a mural, which is two photos. It's huge, probably 12 feet tall and 40 foot wide. And one half of the mural is a photo from our desert camp, the Hacienda at Tanque Verde and Sabino Canyon. And the other photo is Camp Whispering Pines on Mount Lemmon. And those two photos are blended together. So again, earlier I spoke about progression. And the bouldering wall is free climb. So we have mats down on the ground, obviously for fall protection, but they don't have to be harnessed. So we don't have to have a staff member.
Right.
Can only be open when there's a staff member there. We avoided all of that. So it is an opportunity to free climb. And the holds are built into that photo scape. And they're literally climbing from the desert to the pine trees at Camp Whispering Pines. And the route gets harder as you go across the wall. And again, with girls, we wanted the opportunity, you know how it is, an 8-year-old will have done it once and then say, what's next? So we have the opportunity to remove holds, add holds, flip them upside down, and it just blends right in.
It's the 68-year-olds that don't say, what's next? It's like, okay, that was good. I'm 3 feet off the ground.
We try to get to the first three.
I try
to.
That would be a good thing for me. What about, I want to just highlight, and I don't know if there's a long discussion here, but in this crazy world, there's a lot of things going on with kids. They're imploded with technology, just absolutely and positively saturated with it. So one of the things that I loved is that the whole conversation around yoga, there's more and more research coming out, even as recently as last week, about the importance that mindfulness plays in keeping a healthy mental health place in your body, because we get whatever it is, good, bad, ugly, there's just a lot of information coming in. So I thought that piece was critical to teach young girls also.
Right. And we have yoga mats, we have yoga blocks, we have jump ropes, hula hoops, all of those things in that space. And I think the greatest gift is that when it's there, the girls just take to it and go. And you'll see girls on yoga mats helping another girl do a stretch or perform something new versus the traditional classroom style, which we do have opportunities to have yoga professionals come in and do sessions with the girls. But I really appreciate the fact that if it's there, they will use it. And so for me, that's more mind, body, and soul.
I agree.
They just take it and do something with it instead of waiting to be taught or led.
Right.
And so to watch their minds kind of roll with it. And we have oversized Legos in that building as well. The, you know, instead of one
play,
inch, they're about
play.
One
yes.
foot size, 1 foot in size. And so what they can create and build, and just when their mind is not connected to a piece of technology and they can use their hands and their sisters, you know, how they communicate and lean on one another, it just magically, organically transforms in that building.
It's so not prescriptive, and I love that because there is so much out there now about what people don't want is a lecture. And there are educational presentations where you have the opportunity to learn, but a lot of hands-on learning and interaction and skill building and communication skills happen outside of a lecture format. And they have their place. But man, if you're doing a 3-hour lecture, you're not going to keep anybody. You're
right.
Not keeping me, that's for sure. I mean, like 30 minutes is about my max unless it's someone really, really good. So how do all of those activities that go on in the building, how does that all support the Girl Scout programs? I mean, it's very innovative. It's very forward thinking. And I want to talk about that a little bit. But what's going on there? How does it support like the whole Girl Scout mission?
Well, I mean, the Girl Scout mission is to build girls of courage, confidence, and character who make the world a better place. So
bingo.
I want to say
bam.
The mic drop, right?
Right.
Is that what happens here?
Yes.
So, I mean, that's really what it's about. And I think for us, it's that safe space to connect and to try something new and to learn from one another. And I think, you know, we've all experienced that in life. Classrooms are important, right? Their education is a critical piece. But what you learn outside of the classroom is just as impactful.
And there's a lot of leadership opportunities there, which is what you want to do. You want to make the leaders for tomorrow, help form the leaders of tomorrow. They take it and run with it. But I've been to a lot of those Girl Scout breakfasts and have heard the presentations from the girls themselves and from women who were single parent, teenage mom, on and on. And Girl Scouts, I don't think it's an exaggeration at all to say save their lives in many cases. I really don't. At the very least, help them have a much better life.
Right.
Yep. You know,
without question.
There's no doubt about it. We could do that. I want to talk for a minute about Debbie Rich, who's a friend. But the social impact program, the way to do that, which is, to me, wonderful, where you have paid staff to help really, to me, help shrink the great divide between the haves and the have-nots. So whose idea was that? Was it Debbie's? Because it is one of the few councils in the United States. Do you know if it was Debbie's? It would not surprise me, and it's fine if it isn't.
Oh, no, it was Debbie's.
Figured.
It was Debbie's. She led that charge all the way, and she knows that paving that path for the future is a critical piece. And it goes against the grain for some, but the impact and the forward thought that's behind our social impact programs, it's incredible.
It is. And pace of the leader, pace of the team. So you're all probably exhausted all the time because she's got some pace going on there. What about how are those girls selected? Is there an application process? Is it based on socioeconomic or geography? How do you know the criteria?
Well, we have some fantastic community partners. I mean, really, we work with you know, the Community Justice Board. I talked about the girls that need community service hours and that are in the probation in the system, so
right,
to speak.
Right.
And also we work with the refugees. We work with a lot of community partners. But as far as our kind of traditional social impact programs that reach the schools. So we go into the schools, the lower income areas of town, and take Girl Scouting to them.
I mean, it used to be when I was growing up, there was a way, it was pretty much, I mean, I just have to say this, it was for families who had enough money and had transportation, and it was the haves and the have-nots. And we were like marginal, our family, but my mother could make things happen for us like that. And it, there were lots of families that it couldn't. So to me, this crosses that great divide, and it touches my social service and social justice.
Clearly,
we're
taking scouting to those communities.
Right.
Because if they don't have the means and the ways to get to us, so we go directly to them.
And that's what helps us have a sustainable and socially just community. And I think Tucson is a poster child for a lot of those initiatives. So let's talk about the green elements, because I know you know about the green elements, and I'm smiling because I love the Bright Tea Awards that TEP does, and I was the MC last year, and this year they're changing the name to the Green Awards, which I love. But it's really important that they recognize true leaders in sustainability and green practices. So what did you do to get the Bright Tea Award?
Well, it takes a village, you know,
right,
what the Girl Scouts did, what our community has done. And it goes back even before Angel's Place was built. So in our two existing buildings, we traded out our old T12 fluorescent bulbs.
Oh my gosh.
For the T5. So we made a tremendous impact there. And that was in conjunction with TEP and the rebate program. Probably would not have been done without them. But Angel's Place, as it stands, is really a sustainable building. It's brick versus stick.
Right.
So, you know, in Arizona, it's not
huge
a matter
difference.
Of if, but when those
right.
termites will come. So we will long outlast them.
They won't be chewing on those bricks.
Right. But passive solar is a big piece of that building. We try to incorporate the good Arizona sun and minimize the bad Arizona sun. We have a water harvesting tank to capture water off the roof when we do get rain from Mother Nature. Some basins in the front end of the entire campus. So we kind of recreated the campus as a whole when this project came into play. The entire 11,000 square feet, including outside parking lighting, is all LED, also with a photo cell. So you walk into a room, the lights may be on, but you can't really tell it because they won't allow themselves to get bright until it gets dark outside. So,
and what I have said on the show many times before, I was around when the CFLs came out, and I didn't like them because they weren't, quote unquote, bright enough. Well, all that's changed, and now they're not watts, but you can get more powerful lighting. LED lights, they don't emit any heat at all. And when you have a lot of light bulbs on in a building, it's unbelievable to me how much heat it can cause, and the electricity bill is commensurate with how many of those light bulbs. So it may seem like a small thing. It's not. It's a huge thing to have the LED lighting, and I love that. Okay, I love that you use the expression. There's a couple of expressions that I'm really overusing right now. One is teamwork makes the dream work, because I believe that to the core of my being for my team and the team of a family and the team of the community. But it takes a village to raise a child. And one of the things that I admire and respect about Girl Scouts is you guys partner beyond the girls themselves. Who helped make this building possible? Are there any top of mind groups you want to give a little shout out to besides Angel Charity,
well,
which I'm thrilled about?
Certainly we can't not say a shout out to Angel Charity. Absolutely. They were a big piece of that. But we also need to recognize Jenny Klimitz.
She does so much. Press pause. Jenny will love that we mentioned her name on the show, because she is a big donor and she wants to encourage other people to do the same.
Right. The Tucson Foundations, another big
Linda
one.
Linda Lose and her daughter, right?
And Girl Scouts.
And Girl
Let's
Scouts.
Let's say that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The Connie Hillman Family Foundation, Kemper and Ether Marley Foundation, Tucson Medical
Good old
Center.
TMC.
Right.
TMC are there.
O'Reilly Family Foundation.
Another one.
Cox Communications. Was truly a big piece of this puzzle as well.
Way to go.
HSL Family Foundation, the Lopez's.
Family, right.
And the Tucson Conquistadors, just to name a few. I mean, it really wouldn't be possible, just the donor wall in general,
right.
The names out there. go on and on.
And these organizations are very well known in Tucson because of their generosity. They make a lot of things happen. So there are successful families or people that had businesses. And to me, instead of holding on to it, they're giving back and they're making our community stronger. Okay. So my last question is, it's all great. Everything that goes on there is wonderful. Do you think that Angel Charity Place for Girls plays a role in the larger Tucson community? And if so, how so?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we're dedicated to providing the Girl Scout leadership experience to as many girls as our community as possible and as often as they can get there. It's really about our programs that serve girls from low-income and high-need neighborhoods, schools, the refugee girls, girls with parents who are incarcerated, and girls in the foster care and involved in the juvenile justice system. I mean, there's really no better place, and you've said it, a safe space for those girls to come and be right there in their own backyard. Broadway and Columbus is a pretty central location in Tucson, easy to get to, and that was a critical piece. There was a lot of discussion if that location should stay home for us.
The best place.
And Broadway is definitely home for us.
It was
us.
The best place. And I said, you know, those of us that have been an angel since dirt drive by buildings like that, and it re-inspires us to re-up, to continue our commitment, because it does work miracles. I mean, that's our angels work miracles. And you're proud to see what happens. And to me, what Girl Scouts is doing, and I say this sincerely, they're changing the fabric of our community. And I really do believe that. I'm a big fan and a regular monthly donor. just kind of kidding, but I had to throw that in.
Well, I mean, it's our future.
It is our future. You know? Children, the only future we'll ever had. So the last word, I'm going to forward promote a couple things. A final special thanks to Tucson Electric Power for being such intentional and supportive partners and players of so many good things going on in our community. High praise for them. And the Brightee Awards are only one example of their commitment. Our March 19th show, Mrs. Green's World, we're going to revisit our friend in Botswana, Africa, Grant Reed. It was a great show. And then on March 21st, Cindy Bova, another TEP Brightee Award winner. What they did out at Sunnyside School District with their solar, it's something to celebrate. So my final word is, as a mission-based organization, we are committed to raising awareness about every aspect of climate change possible. This is yet another one of our shows that helps to remind us that there really is a great deal of good news out there working on important issues like educating girls. In the national best-selling book, Project Drawdown, the education of women and girls is identified as one of the top four solutions offered as a way to combat climate change. The Girl Scouts of Southern Arizona is a very powerful and impactful organization that is working in our community to do just that. They recognize that times have changed and that more families in Arizona live in poverty, and that there are fewer and fewer parents who have the time to volunteer as a leader of a troop. By recognizing how vitally important it is to devote resources and time into making the dream of Girl Scouting a reality for more and more girls, they are helping all of us to live in a more sustainable and socially just community and world. We thank them for all of their important work, and we thank all of you for being a part of our world. And thank you so much, MacGyver, for being here. It was really fun.
Thank you.